Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up, with me, Julie Hayden, and Chuck Bonnywell. Chuck is wrapping some stuff up. He'll be right down here to join the show as soon as he does that. Happy to announce we're going to have at 3:30, Darcy Shaning is going to come on. She is the only announced grassroots candidate running for state Republican Party chair. Big election coming up at the end of March. So we're going to have her on, and she's going to talk about her vision for the state party. But wanted to start off today with more like rhino issues. So in Colorado, I think actually as we speak, certainly this afternoon, they're going to be debating, it's House Bill 25-1220. This is essentially a law looking for a problem that doesn't exist. And tragically, but not shockingly, it has two rhino Republican sponsors. So what this bill does is it would create an entirely new regulatory arm of the government, of the Department of Department of Regulatory Agencies under DORA. A POLIS basically would appoint seven people on a board that would then come up with regulations, requirements, licensing fees, et cetera, for nutritionists and dietitians in Colorado. Who knew? Right. And not only that, if you gave somebody nutritional advice without a license, you could be put in jail. This would make it a Class 2 misdemeanor, an actual crime, not just like most of the other regulatory agencies. If you mispaying your fee or something like that, you get a fine. Right. This time, no, they would put you in jail for this. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing. Right. Yep, here comes Chuck. And it's not really clear what this board that POLIS would appoint is the one that would be coming up with all of the requirements, educational requirements, the licensing fees. It's not entirely clear to me like what would constitute, and of course they'll come up with the definition of that, a dietitian or nutritionist. So in other words, if I say to Chuck, I don't think you should eat so many Oreos, if I don't have a license, that's right, that's malpractice, and I could be put in jail. Now, I don't know about that, but here's the thing.
Why not? You join Tina Peters.
Exactly. And here's the thing. When you look at who supports this bill, the Liberty Scorecard does not, by the way. It's all a bunch of giant hospitals and health organizations. So to me, Chuck, this bill is just another attempt by the giant guys to get rid of the little guys, right?
Yes.
Right. They don't want any pesky single owner nutritionist running around dispensing dangerous advice. I mean, this is just ridiculous. It's not as if we've had dozens of people keeling over every month as a result of fatally bad diet advice, right? We haven't, right? I mean, people are saying, oh, somebody said, don't eat so many Oreos, and all of a sudden, they're dead. I mean, there is no problem here. They're creating the problem to benefit the good guys. And disappointingly, we've got
not just disappointing. This is the whole thing that's wrong with the Republican Party.
Well, let me say their names. Republican Representative Hartsook out of Douglas County. Now, he's the one we told you about last week, who is also co-sponsoring a Democrat bill that would allow the government to shut down any social media accounts it doesn't like. Right. So there we go. He's for censorship, anti-First Amendment. And then also Senator on the Senate side, Byron Pelton out of Weld County. So these are
of course
out of Weld County. I mean, Douglas County is doing its best, and I know Mark Hampton and the Parker Conservatives, they are no fans of Representative Hartsook. But my question, I mean, this is big organizations, big business trying to shut down the little guy, and they're going to come up with some bizarre regulatory board, all kinds of requirements.
They're always good.
Oh, yeah. And it's ridiculous. The whole thing is to trap you. And again, and now you could go to jail, not just a civil fine. They're going to criminalize giving bad They're going to criminalize giving unlicensed nutritional advice. This is not what Republicans in Colorado need to be working on, right?
God knows, dude.
Yeah, the state, what, it's the second highest, fastest increase in violent crime. Now, I know they don't have a lot of clout. The Republicans don't. And I know that people like Brandi Bradley, Scott Bottoms, Kendra Graff, they are working their hardest.
There's seven of them. There's seven of them. But many of the other ones, because of our election system, quite frankly.
Yeah, the open primary.
Open primaries and so forth. We get lefties. And then they sign on, make it bipartisan. And so the Republicans can't say, come the next election, look at the Democrats did to you. They just, you know, criminalized, increased
giving
the
bad,
cost.
Giving unlicensed nutrition. Exactly.
And did everything else. And they go, no, this is bipartisan. So why these idiots do it, there's a reason they do it. They must get some kind of consideration by the Democrats saying, okay, you know, you want some of the graft that we get all of,
yeah.
And we'll
put
throw
you on
you
an NGO board.
Yeah, we'll put you on an NGO board. That's a good, that's a beautiful way of saying it. And it's why the Republican Party stinks. It's not because
some of them. We don't stink.
We don't stink. Well, I was just trying to read the thing.
Oh, what? Let's cut to the chase. What does this mean for deep fried Twinkies? Well, that means, Leo, if you want to eat your deep fried Twinkie, you better get that advice from a licensed nutritionist. Or I don't know if you could go to jail. No, you couldn't go to jail. But I
could
mean,
go to jail.
I don't think they can send the person to jail.
Why not?
Yeah, really. That's
you're, you're aiding and abetting an unlicensed nutritionist.
Republicans.
You're supporting.
Representative Hartsuk and Senator Pelton, are they not listening to what's going on in MAGAland, right? Are they not listening to, while Trump is out there doing everything he can to cut unnecessary spending, to drop prices, to get rid of unnecessary bureaucracies, we've got two Republicans and this bill alone in Colorado doing everything they can to increase bureaucracy, to decrease personal responsibility.
And not hold the Democrats accountable.
Not hold the Democrats accountable. They're helping the Democrats. So that's just one. And I want to shout out to Wendy McBride, who tipped me off on this. And apparently, again, from what I could tell, when you look at the supporters, right, it's all hospitals and giant healthcare companies, right? And the whole point of the bill is to eliminate competition to them from the little guy. Right. So
the little guy.
Oh, I know. And it's ridiculous. And why Republicans, I mean, shame on Hartsuk and Pelton for joining in on this. They should be standing up and fighting against it. Right. So
I'll get contributions from the pigs.
Yeah, exactly. So we will keep you posted.
But that's usually not enough. They're going to have to get some. The spouses will have to.
Yeah, their spouse will
be on an NGO board.
Be on an NGO board or something like that, or a hospital board or something like that. It wouldn't surprise me because there's no reason to support this. It goes against every Republican principle. And again, it's not as if, you know, no one knew that there are all kinds of crises with bad nutritional advice, right, out there. And again, this is like, you know, regulations, increasing more regulations, more requirement, licensing fees, all of that. It's going to drive the price up. And I guarantee you, no one's going to be healthier in Colorado because of it, right?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, when your physicians are trying to give you advice for COVID.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
Said, well, I'd like to try hydrochloroquine. Hydrochloroquine and Jesus Christ,
ivermectin.
And they say we can't prescribe that to you. Why not? So I lose my license.
Well, yeah, you're right. This is going to be. I guarantee you.
Hydrochloroquine.
The nutritional.
Hydrochloroquine.
The regulated nutritionists are going to be pushing drugs. I'm just going to go with that.
Yeah.
No one's going to say if they say, you know, eat less, exercise more, go to jail, straight to jail for you. That doesn't pass a licensing requirement. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. And one of the things we want to try to do as we go through this session is let you know. We expect this from the Democrats, but let you know when the Rhino Republicans.
Well, that's all that matters. You're not going to have any effect on the Democrats, none right. whatsoever. I used to, you know, vociferously follow all the bills and so forth, and then eventually, you know, I tie myself into a knot, and 2/3 of them wouldn't pass, or 3/4 these days more because it's just a one-party
right.
state. But what you can say is, you know, we got to put these people, we're going to recommend them to Rhino Watch for rhinos of the month.
Well, and there's a national rhino removal project. So that's like,
well, that's
because,
great.
Yeah, they need to start working here in Colorado. All right, want to move on to good news?
Sure.
Kind of fun news. So last week we told you about, and a great job by these investigative journalists who Somebody leaked this, but access to essentially an employee chat group at the NSA, the National Security Agency, and the department, and basically all kind of like all kinds of intelligence communities. And this chat group, it wasn't about like, hey, do you guys have any good ideas on how we can increase national security? It was horrific. Sex chat groups, right? I mean, it was like, I mean, I don't know if you guys saw some of it, but it's like, whoa. And it was all, and I mean, it started out, and this was approved, this was government approved, started out as a DEI thing, and then quickly deteriorated into this disgusting, as Tulsi Gabbard said, horrific sex chat group on government time, on government servers. So they exposed this. And here's what I love about the Trump administration. Tulsi Gabbard is like, fired. They're fired. It's like they found them. I mean, they found all these people. And I mean, I don't know, you know, when Comey set up the honey trap, it's like, what could, this seems to me to be bad, right? This seems to me to
I promise you, it's not. They spend, look at all the money they give to gay groups, if you want to call them, and intersex groups and everything else over in all these other countries. So why not? I mean, since we're trying to make every other country gay tolerant, why not just be go crazy?
But on government time. So here's
government time. There's no time but government time.
Yeah.
And so government time, as if they distinguish that. They don't work. There's no government time.
No. I mean, if you're going to have a sex chat group, at least it's like, well, again, the fact that they did it, you know, you should go on your own email. I mean, exactly. Well, that's the thing. So we have a great, so they, some, there, I think it was Fox was asking Tulsi, hey, what are we going to do about that? And she had a great answer. So Doug, if we could please play the Tulsi Gabbard soundbite.
There are over 100 people from across the intelligence community that contributed to and participated in this. What is really just an egregious violation of trust, what to speak of like basic rules and standards around professionalism. I put out a directive today that they all will be terminated and their security clearances will be revoked. But the thing here, Jesse, is like we got to take a step back because this is just barely scratching the surface. Yeah. When you see what these people were saying, and thanks to Chris Rufo for putting it all out online, they were brazen in using an NSA platform intended for professional use to conduct this kind of really, really horrific behavior. And they were brazen in doing this because when was the last time anyone was really held accountable? Certainly not over the last 4 years, certainly not over the last 10, maybe 20 years. When we look at some of the biggest violations of the American people's trust in the intelligence community. So today's action in holding these individuals accountable is just the beginning of what we're seeing across the Trump administration, which is carrying out the mandate the American people gave him. Clean house, root out that rot and corruption and weaponization and politicization so we can start to rebuild that trust in these institutions that are charged with an important mission of serving the American people, ensuring our safety, security, and freedom.
You know, and that's, she makes that good. The broader point is good that they were doing this. First, that's bad enough, but it's like, I mean, most people have had jobs, right? You have your job email and
it's
you put stuff like that.
Government employees.
Exactly. The brazen, the arrogance and that they could do this there and that nothing would happen to
them.
And
what are they supposed to do? Go back to their nutrition. Federal Nutrition Board.
But I think it's, and they didn't mess around, right? There's no millions of hearings and little, you know what I mean? It's
well,
like fired.
They'll be suspended first and then they'll have, there is a due process.
Well, I imagine there's probably, yes, there's probably a due process, but you're right. But at least Trump, and I mean, he's announcing he's going to slash a bunch of federal jobs. I mean, back to even at Trump's cabinet meeting today, Elon Musk was saying, you know, hey, look, the whole point of the email we sent out to say, let's give five things you did today is just to see, do these people have a pulse? Are these actual people? Are they real people? Are they fake emails? Like even Trump said, did they quit and move? And we're still, you know, it's just, he said, it's not a job review. And the fact that the Democrats are freaking out about that, you know, you'd think they'd be like, no, we're, again, in support of getting rid of fraud and waste and abuse.
No,
and it's like, nope, they're not. Nope, they're not at
all.
Are
you kidding me? That's how they fund everything.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and that's what we're finding out now, too, is, you know, you're finding out all of the spouses of congressional leaders who were
Sheldon
on
White House,
correct,
you know,
who are on NGO boards, right?
No. The best way to do it is it goes out to the NGO, and then you're a consultant.
Your wife is a
You have a
consultant, or your
corporation
husband,
that
yeah.
is a consultant, and you are on the board of the company that's, you
Does
know,
his
you, the
consulting.
farther down you go, the better off you are, at least harder to find.
Right. And I think in Musk is they're doing a good job exposing all of that. And then this kind of thing too. And hopefully, they'll knock it off. And you
No,
don't think they will?
of course not. They haven't since the time they had sex chats back in Washington's time. I mean, come on.
Yes, but he didn't have it on the
Well, they
internet.
didn't have whatever the equivalent of the internet
But
was.
it's again, Trump is just moving so fast. And don't believe any of the polls and things that say, oh, people are upset about it. People are not upset about it, right?
Well, at midnight tonight, the federal judge has ordered, and it's clearly his order, that all the payments to U.S. aid should have to proceed ahead. And he's made it clear if they're not, there'll be consequences. So
But here's my thing. What consequences? What's he going to do?
they'll take whoever the unfortunate schmuck who had to go there and jail him,
But who would
that's
have
a
to
fine.
jail him?
Oh, they'd get
I don't think so. Here's the thing.
she'd
The
get
court.
Mrs. Obama
Yeah,
as agreed
Michelle
to come, Michelle
Obama.
Obama's agreed to come in, rustle him down.
I think you raise a good point, too. And we've been talking about this just amongst ourselves.
Amongst the
I
crowd.
mean, you've got like 700 federal judges out there, the most obscure of them issuing these rulings. And I think we don't want to get too caught up in the back and forth because it's got to work its way through the process. Sooner or later, some of this will get up to the Supreme Court, and Trump's going to win some. He's going to lose some. I think in the ultimate end, he's going to win a lot because, as you said, they could say, okay, we're going to pay it, but now we're going to withhold the pay because we suspect fraud, right?
Well,
And
it is a con you know they kept on calling it a constitutional crisis, and it really is one.
to a certain,
Just
yeah.
the lowest level of the judiciary, which is the district courts, the
Control the
low,
country.
yeah, control the presidency. And it's a good question because it really is. And he says, "Well, you're going to have to do it, and then I've given you my temporary, and then we'll have a permanent injunction issued 2 years from now, and then it'll go up to the
Which is what, yeah.
D.C. Court of Appeals in the third year. I mean, this system was not really intended to allow single district court judges to
Right.
really rule the roost.
Well, and you have
And
a, and I think Trump is walking a fine line now. He doesn't want to, on the one hand, defy the judiciary. But I mean, let's think of it. He controls the Department of Justice. So if the judge wants to hold somebody in contempt of court, now who would that person be? Because the lawyer arguing it doesn't have the ability to turn the funds back on, right? So would he hold who in contempt of court? And the Department of Justice would be the one involved in that. The U.S. Marshals, which now Trump controls, would be. So the reality is these are, I think this is, I don't want to say silliness because it does have significant consequences, but I think these are issues that Trump is going to win in the long run, right?
I don't know
But
that he's
you
going
could
to.
give
I'm
the
not sure he's
collection.
going to win or not, but in some sense, it doesn't matter if he wins or not. In the sense we talked about during the sex chat, that he's exposed. You can't look at USAID again.
No.
You can't say, "Oh, that's great! All that wonderful money going out to Guatemala for what?"
Right.
And oh, okay. So the climate change is going to Stacey Abrams' $2 billion NGO she started a few years ago that has $100 in revenues. Oh, okay.
Right.
The whole government is just one big waste, fraud, and abuse. And now we're going to have, they just passed a new budget. Well, a new budget
Yeah.
would say, federal government, you're cut in half. Goodbye.
Yeah, really.
Goodbye.
Another thing then too, there's a bunch of stuff to talk about before we have Darcy on. You guys will get a kick out of this. So Jake Tapper, who was one of the main media cover-ups
Yes,
of Joe Biden's cognitive decline, is writing a book, The Original Sin, President Biden's Decline, Its Cover-Up, and His Disastrous Choice to Run Again. It's like, what? Jake, I guess he would know. I mean,
because he was part of it.
if his book is going to be like a tell-all, and then after, Jill
I
Biden
agree,
told
isn't it?
me, yeah, I agreed to do this, but it was pretty funny. So Laura Trump had done an interview with Jake Tapper really right before the Biden-Trump presidential debate. And when she tried to bring up the cognitive decline that Jake Tapper is now writing a book about, he like slammed her down. And this is pretty funny to listen to. Doug, if we could please play the Tapper soundbite.
Comes on stage, or they turn to him. I'm like, Joe, can you get it out? Let's get the words out, Joe. You kind of feel bad for him.
How do you think it makes little kids with stutters feel when they see you make a comment like that?
First and foremost, I had no idea that Joe Biden ever suffered from a stutter. I think what we see on stage with Joe Biden, Jake, is very clearly a cognitive decline. Okay. That's what I'm referring to. It makes me uncomfortable.
You are so amazing. It's so amazing to me
and try and figure out an answer.
A cognitive decline.
When you're trying to tell me that what I was suggesting was
I think that you were mocking his stutter. I think you were mocking his stutter, and I think you have absolutely no standing to diagnose somebody's cognitive decline. I would think that somebody in the Trump family would be more sensensitive to people who do not have medical licenses diagnosing politicians from afar. Plenty of people have diagnosed your father from afar, and I'm sure it offends you, your father-in-law from afar. I'm sure it offends you. You don't have any standing to say.
I'm not diagnosing him. What I'm saying, Jake,
you just talked about a cognitive decline.
I
have one last question for you, Laura. You
can't times on stage, and it's very concerning to a lot of people that this could be the leader of the free world.
Okay.
That is all I'm saying. I genuinely feel sorry for Joe Biden.
I appreciate it. I'm sure.
I mean, it's like, what a jerk, right? And secondly, though, now, like I said, maybe in his book, he's going to say, I was part of it in that interview I did with Laura Trump. No, I don't think so either. It's like, who the Jake Tapper is now going to be writing
gonna
a book?
Let the mainstream media have it.
Maybe he can get some help from all of the MSNBC employees.
They're available
now. Fired.
That's freelancers.
I mean, again, just the blatant hypocrisy about something like that, right?
You got to have that. There's no such thing as hypocrisy in Washington.
Another good thing, too, that we have to talk about just a little bit before we bring up Darcy is, and I'm not sure exactly what this means, but Jeff Bezos, owner of Amazon and also the Washington Post, had an announcement today where he said in their editorial pages, from now on, they're going to be promoting personal liberties and free markets. And he went to their main editorial page editor, I guess, and said, hey, are you on board with this? And the guy was like, no. And they all fired. Now, why you would be, I mean, there are a lot of questions they have about it. Exactly, like, what does personal liberties and free market mean?
Yeah.
I mean, does that mean everything for Amazon? Does free market mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It does mean.
Does that mean
Amazon rolls free?
It means that you have a personal freedom to buy everything from Amazon.
Yeah, from China. So it'd be good for
you. Sure, what that means. On the other hand, just to resign on the face of it.
Well,
right?
Because he knows what it means.
Yeah.
It means they're no longer going to be anti-Trump, anti-Republican. They're going to be some weird combo jumbo. And they always say, you know, it's the editorial page, because we know the regular one is very objective. They don't have any political viewpoint at all.
Well, they've been firing people right and left over all of that. But it just kind of cracks me up that the Democrats are like so upset and that the Washington Post people are canceling their subscriptions because they do not think we should be promoting personal liberties and free market. And again, I think the bigger questions would be, what exactly do you mean by that?
He means whatever he wants to mean by
right,
it. He owns
right.
it and he's an incredibly rich person. So it stands for whatever he wants it to stand for.
Right.
But
and this from Jacob. I cannot believe MSNBC fired Joy Reid during Black History Month. That's true.
Yes, that's
great. Well, here's the thing. I wish the Trump administration would now launch an investigation into MSNBC because their main host, Rachel Maddow, accused him of being racist, right?
Yeah, the Civil Rights Division should get right on it.
That's right. All right, we got Jacob raising his hand. We'll get Jacob and then Darcy, I see you there. We'll come to you too, but we'll let Jacob go first. Jacob, hey, what do you got?
So Rachel Maddow goes on a tirade the other night, and today MSNBC fired her whole staff.
I saw that.
She's still got an executive producer and two other people.
Right. But at her $25 million a year, she can afford to hire him back on her own paycheck.
Exactly. But she should do.
But with the liberals,
I was going to say, we see that
their own money. Yeah.
No, we see that in the NFL all the time, various professional sports, I guess I should say, where they have a salary cap, right? And you have players who say, okay, look, I'll give back some of mine so that you can hire better people. You're right. Rachel Maddow goes on a tirade against her network, and she's taking home $25 million for appearing once a week. You know what I mean? And you're right.
You can get it.
And she's like, yeah, sorry, staffer. It's like, here's, I don't know.
I never liked Joy. That was... That was really a skit I did. I didn't mean that.
And I think, Jacob, they should investigate him. She's the one, the MSNBC employees are the ones who are saying the company's racist.
There's a precious only two persons of color during the primetime one. And now they're gone. They fired them both. Although one is really
racist
Burmese,
to me.
But yeah, it's close enough.
One last thing real quick. I'd love to see Sean Hannity and April, because they both interrupt each other. The way they interview, they always interrupt whoever they're interviewing. So,
exactly.
All right, have a good one.
All right, thanks, Jacob. Okay, we are now pleased to have Darcy Shaining on with us. She is
who no one's pronounced her name correctly in the 4 years.
So yeah, my first thing is no one knows what I'm talking about because I've been saying her name wrong forever. So Darcy, I am so sorry for that. But Darcy is the only grassroots announced so far candidate running for the Colorado Republican Party chair. That position is going to be voted on March 29th. So wanted to get Darcy on and explain things. So first off, Darcy, hey, thank you once again and welcome.
Yeah, great to
Thanks
see you.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
Okay, so I got to ask you this, though, because Chuck was listening to you. You've been making the rounds. You're on the Jeff and Bill show on KNUS. Britta Horn was there, too. Did you really serve her with the lawsuit there? Okay, tell us about that. That should have been live streamed.
Yeah.
I have a video. I did. And the parties of the lawsuit have been evading service. And I knew she was going to be there. So why not?
The thing, and then Britta went, and this is why we need grassroots people in there. Britta then went on a tirade about that. It's like, I'm sorry, Britta Horn, the Rhino candidate,
because you were a plaintiff a few months ago suing all the officers, the real officers of the Republican Party.
A meeting costing the state $100,000. It's like you guys are the one, and do they want to say you're the problem, Darcy?
Right. And that's the crux of the issue. And the reason why I felt like it was important to deliver that lawsuit to her today is because we're not okay. So to be unified, as they like to continue talking about, we have to all be working towards the same goals, right? We can all agree that we need that the Democrats should leave our children alone. We can all agree on our Second Amendment rights. So if we come together around those issues, that's unity. What she's talking about is not holding people accountable. And over $100,000 was removed from state GOP funds to defend the chairmanship of Dave Williams and to defend Anna Ferguson and Hope Shepelman. Now, no matter how the rest of the party feels about those individuals, that's $100,000 that was given by donors to get candidates elected and right. to fund the party. And so we have to show them our due diligence that money is being put back. And the only place that it can come from is the parties that initiated the lawsuit.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, so they initiate the whole thing and then they complain that you're being divisive by, you know, it's ridiculous. Well, because I wanted to give you a chance to go ahead and talk about
what are the 3 or 2 or 10 main points of your campaign?
Sure. So as you guys know, you've been working with me for a while now. Kids are really, really important to me. Education is, I mean, this is the battle of our lifetime. We are battling. I know it's an overused term, but we're battling for the soul of our children. We've seen the Democrats have come in and tried to destroy our kids. So education is a huge priority. Localities to that end, cities, county commissions. Just because Jared Polis and the legislature passed terrible laws here doesn't mean that we have to accept them. As you guys have seen over the last year, I've opted school boards out of mental health assessments. I've opted school boards out of the pronoun bill. I've worked with counties and cities over the last year. For example, the Safe Spaces gun law. Several cities and counties opted out of that, right? And that's right. What we have to be doing. We have to be taking our conservative areas and working with them to get things done. And listen, that's how we show, because issue number two, the unaffiliates, that's how we show the unaffiliated why they need to vote Republican. It's not by watering down our values. It's not by becoming pro-choice. It's by showing them that we in Monument, we in Castle Rock, we live better than you guys in Denver. We're safer. We're happier. Our kids have better test scores. So I'm really going to be focusing on the localities, education, and the 2025 school board races. I've already been working with some donors who are really concerned about education, and they have pledged over $150,000.
Wow.
So as we go into
school boards,
says, yeah, I've created an initiative for that. And then that will give the donors more confidence, as well as the voters, that in 2026, we can really flip some seats.
Right. Well, one of the things, too, that you guys have done, and I know, and you...
Well, I'd like her to finish out what the program is.
Oh,
so okay. That was two.
Okay. Chuck, do you have other stuff, too, or other points you want to make?
So my other biggest point, and it's something not a lot of people talk about, is the data and the infrastructure, right? So data and infrastructure is so important that we can't fight, you know, we can't fight for candidates. We can't get candidates elected if we don't have on-point data, if we aren't out there building an infrastructure, not just for ourselves, but for future generations of the Colorado GOP to be successful.
Okay. We were, you know, interestingly, I was meeting with Bruce Baker today, who was running for mayor of Westminster City Council. Go, Bruce. And one of the things we were talking about, as he says, and the Democrats, when you talk about infrastructure, do this very well. You look at, they put female candidates, and I think it was Emily's list, but now that's kind of defunct. But what they do is they elect into city councils.
It's divided. It's not defunct.
Okay. And then they scooch them into legislative seats, right? So a lot of the very progressive candidates in like the Adams County area started off on Westminster City Council. And that's intentional, right? They do it there. And you're right. The Republicans have a harder time doing that. And I think that is something that's good. So you maybe start off as a whatever, right? And then, but then you kind of build, and is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Yeah, so it build our benches, and that's literally what it is. It's building our local benches who then go on to become state and federal leaders, but it's also building up our donor network and just instilling confidence, not only in the donors, but the community that we can win these things.
Right. One of the other things too, I think you've done, because I've seen your fingerprints on this, and I mean that in a good way, is because I get the emails, is it's not just like you said, the gun thing, right? You don't just say to cities, oh, we need to protest this. You give them a roadmap and a template to follow so they can actually show up and do it. And I think that's, talk a little bit about that, because I think that's important.
Sure. So, you know, just because the legislature passes a law or Jared Polis creates an executive order doesn't mean that that's where these things die, right? So I'll use the Safe Spaces gun law as an example, since you brought it up. It would be really easy for every county and city in Colorado to say, okay, you can't bring your firearms into our town hall anymore. You can't bring them into our buildings. But that's not, the Constitution wasn't written to say that if you bring a gun into someone's safe space that you're breaking. It just doesn't work that way. So we have to look at the laws and then look at the local laws and figure out, what can I do to protect these residents, to protect this locality from this law? Sometimes it's an opt-out. Sometimes it's just not complying with it at all. Sometimes these laws, like House Bill 1039, the pronoun bill, it is a matter of the law states you have to write a policy. Well, you know how CASB is. You know how those woke agencies are. So if somebody like me comes along and says, look, I wrote the policy for you, then you have hundreds, thousands of kids that are now protected as much as they can be.
Right.
So, I've been doing with these policies, just, you know, if you can get pockets of kids, pockets of families, I mean, that's a huge difference in those people's lives.
Well, and you give them something concrete to do. And like I said, a template to follow rather than just people like, well, okay, I'm opposed to that, but I don't know what to do. And you're like, well, here's what you could do. One other thing I wanted to get you, because I know they always bring this up and say, oh, we had seats where people weren't running for office, as if somehow that's like your fault. I know you guys worked, and you, again, I'll give you credit for this, did a lot of work also in terms of getting, it's not just like you snap your fingers and Republican candidate, or like you guys weren't trying. And in fact, you did a great job. So talk about that a little bit.
Sure. So I think I came on your show and talked about
without
candidates. And it was, of course, the opposition wanted to put out, oh, the Colorado GOP didn't find candidates. Some of them wanted to blame me because I was leading the candidate initiative. But sometimes they're just things that happen, right? We had a candidate, I forget which house district it was. She didn't show up the morning of assembly because she was in a fight with her husband. Now, I know. And then another one forgot to turn his paperwork in, right? So unless I, Darcy, was spending the night at those people's houses and making sure they had no family issues and paperwork issues and walking them to their meetings, sometimes there are just things that happen. And then, of course, there are districts where, which those are, where it's really hard to find somebody. Right. Now, to that end, my team, I'm about to release a program to start recruiting candidates right now for 2026. I had a reporter ask me the other day, hey, is there anybody declared for AG yet? Not that I know of, not any Republicans. So let's right. start working on it.
Right. Well, and I think, and that's...
Well, I'll give you my 2 cents. Here in Adams County, there were, I don't know, various seats that weren't filled. And my answer to that is, who cares? The actual problem we had, like Julie and I are in HD 29. It's an overwhelmingly Democratic district. It's an overwhelmingly House district. We convinced some great, really nice guy, but you got to be a little crazy to run where you're going to have, you can't possibly win.
Yeah.
And in Adams County, this last election, Adams County had a great result because it had a
Gabe Evans.
Why did we have a great result in Adams County? Well, we had a great result because Gabe Evans is owned lock, stock, and barrel by Americans for No Prosperity. And they poured millions of dollars into Adams County, and they ballot harvested. For the first time ever, a Republican actually ballot harvest and had to get out the vote. And so on election day, they knew how many people who were regular ones or not so regular ones hadn't turned out their votes and went and got them, which is what you have to do if you're going to win a statewide election, except it'll cost an incredible fortune to do. But that's what it takes to win. As far, and during that, if we'd taken, and we had a great chair for HD 29.
Kathy Stroud.
She should have spent all of her time in one of the House districts and Senate districts we lost by just that much. She would have been so much better, so much more valuable if she had spent her time in those two districts. We should take all the ones that are worthless and focus in on the few we can win. Because that's the only way you win elections. And for Britta Horn to say we need to fill 17 worthless districts we can't possibly win. No, let's win some. Let's spend all our time in the districts we can win, not on the districts we can't win. You know, there is some vague one where, okay, if you have a candidate, then the Democrats have to defend it. So they have to use up a little of their money. And that's, I guess that's sort of valuable. But generally speaking, we got to find districts we can win and spend all our time and money there because we just don't have any other choice. So when Britta says we didn't fill the 17, well, great, Britta. Which ones you fill?
You give it a shot.
It's yeah. Why don't you spend all your time there?
I totally agree. So in that last cycle, I don't know who, somebody contacted me and said, hey, you still have like one day. Find somebody for this seat. And I'm like, listen, like I've been out, or no, not one day. It was past the deadline. They said, we can appeal it, I think. And I'm like, okay, at this point, we've got good candidates all across the state that are relying on me, relying on us to get them data, resources, to strategize with them. And you think it's a good use of my time to be riding around Denver looking for a candidate?
Yeah.
If one comes willingly, praise Jesus. Great. And we can even, you know, look for them some, but for that to be such a destructive talking point for Republicans, it just makes no sense. We have to run the Colorado GOP. We have to run this organization like it's a company. And if you owned a restaurant, it doesn't behoove you, if you own a restaurant in Monument, to be advertising up in Jefferson County. And that's what this is. They want to run an organization in a nonsensical way, in an emotional way, and we're not going to do that.
Well, the only reason, this is my theory on why they're doing that, is because they don't have anything else to attack you on, right? The Colorado Republican Party under you guys and the grassroots leadership had the best year in like decades, right? And so instead, the only thing they can say is, oh, you didn't have some obscure candidate. And like you said, great if they want to run. But you know what, Chuck, what you were describing, where have we read that before? Oh, Blueprint Colorado.
Yeah.
That's how Ted Trippa did it. They said, forget the district. We can look at the data. We know the places that we can make an inroad. We figure out what's our win number in those districts we can win. And then we pour everything into that. And then we take it back one at a time. And look what happened. It seemed to work. And so, yeah, let the rhinos go ahead and fake criticize you over something that isn't a problem, because, you know, this is just my theory. Those people, they don't want to do the work, right? They've been losing in Colorado forever. They're happy to lose. And that's why they are so opposed to somebody like you, because you're like, hey, I'm actually getting stuff done, guys, making a difference. And they're
well, let's go to the AG race. Who cares if we run? Do you make any difference?
Well, you have
that. No, you don't have to. I mean, if you can't possibly win, we've had great candidates before. I mean, George Brocker was. I've had my differences in labor, but he was a great candidate. He got schlacked. He didn't even come close. Who cares if we run? Who cares if we run for governor? They're not going to win.
Well, if you're the chair of the party, you can't say.
Well, okay, but I don't care who runs for governor. I think we've got three or four I consider great possible ones, but I don't care because none of them are going to win because we don't have enough money to ballot harvest.
All right.
If you don't ballot harvest, you can't win the statewide election. And as I've said so many times,
this is why she isn't going to be chair of the party. Though,
well, because, you know, it'd be a different party.
I understand that sentiment. I guess, you know, when you're looking at being chair of the party, though, the thought process is, well, as I build out this infrastructure, as I lead us into this Trump era, an era where we, like I've told you, we've been fighting these horrible battles year after year, and we're just lucky to have a win here and there. I'm lucky when I win at one school board, right? Now, we've got the force of the federal government and President Trump behind us. He's already looking into stuff going on in Colorado. So if we work with the Trump administration, we build out an infrastructure, we make sense of what we're doing to help candidates, and we flip seats. You know, we flip seats over time. Well, those candidates that are running for AG, that they're not going to win in this cycle, they might be candidates in another cycle for another office. They may become great members of the party that help us flip other seats. So, you know, there's other benefits of running candidates for those seats. And so we'll just continue to chip away at it.
Right.
Well, for me, there's only, and you know, we're members of the State Central Committee. And so we'll be voting on the 29th. And there's only two things that matter to me, two things that make any difference. One, can you raise money? And you can raise money.
I can.
You've shown you can raise money. You've shown, you know, people like Dean, who's, you know, that's a good person to know. And you can raise money. So you pass that test. And the other test, which is the only thing that matters in Colorado, are we going to be a party who puts up candidates that are chosen by independents and Democrats? Is that going to be our candidate? Are those going to be our candidates? Because unless we change the present way, the establishment really have their greatest moment or potential moment in 22. Every one of those candidates for statewide office was a rhino. In some cases, an attractive rhino. I mean, Joe O'Day, on the fact he wanted to kill babies and all that, was an attractive candidate. He was a self-made businessman. He had all the things. He had all the left-wing talking points to throw in there. I hated Trump. And all of that did them no good. In a year in which Republicans, in a mid-year after Democratic elected, that was a good year for Republicans. It didn't turn out as good. But they elected none. So after that, Phil Anschutz and some of them have started to back away. They kind of go, it doesn't matter who we run as candidates. You go, duh, you finally figured that out.
Eli's coming, Chuck. Eli's coming,
right. So the only thing that matters to me is if we have candidates who, if they do win, what will make a difference? I mean, we began the show with two Republicans supporting an obscene bill to have the state government take over nutrition and have boards and everything else. And we had two Republicans backing it. So that when we go to the voters and say, look what they did, and they go, no, we didn't do it. You did it as much as we did. And therefore, we have to have candidates who believe in something. Why pick a Republican out whose same ideas is a Democrat? I mean, why bother? Why bother?
Yeah.
So either you're for the opt-out and the lawsuit, or you're not.
Correct.
And that's the only divide I care.
You're a better man. Yeah.
And so I think I know this answer, but where do you stand on the opt-out?
Definitely for the opt-out. I mean, if you can't trust that the Republican vote is who chooses our candidate, then why have a party?
Yes. Yes.
Why? I mean, if we sail our values down the river and say, okay, independents, Democrats who register, who aren't red, come vote in our primary, then again, why have a party? That's how, that is the single most devastating thing that Colorado did. I mean, that's why we are where we are. We have to undo it.
And Britta Horn is a, well, she won't, she'll be like KVB. She's learned to start lying about it because during the reorganization meeting, the grassroots won and the people who were for open primaries didn't overwhelmingly lose. It's probably 60-40. And if you throw in the elected officials, it maybe comes closer. But you are one who absolutely believes in it. You will, I assume, continue the lawsuit if you're elected and maybe run money for and raise money for
it. Of course, I plan to.
Let me finish.
Okay. And so,
you know, you pass the two most important tests.
The Chuck test.
Chuck.
Let me ask you this, though, too, because as we said in the show, you're the only announced grassroots candidate. And we all know there are other people out there still looking at it. And I don't know. This is sort of a statement and partly a question. To me, one of the biggest things that we have to do is make sure that we continue the grassroots leadership. I mean, would that be so? What I don't want to see happen is we all end up at this meeting and we divide our power and then a Britta Horn wins. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, we've got some things to talk about. There are people that are still talking about running. And then there are people that were going to run and now they're not running. So, you know, Julie, that's why I got in early, because I wanted to let the party know that I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to lead. I've been demonstrating that for years. So, you know, if people on our side of the party start to come in droves, the way I'm going to look at it is they're splitting the vote, because that side of the party is organized. And so
look at her, look at Britta Horn's endorsement list. Every rhino there is.
Correct. And so it's time for us to come together. We need doers in our party. We need people that are boots on the ground, that are knocking on doors, that are leading, that aren't afraid to take the media hits. And that's me. And so that's why I jumped into this race. And, the future remains to be seen, but I'm going to keep running my campaign as aggressively as I run everything else. And hopefully the voters will see that I'm truly the best candidate to lead this state in the Trump era.
One of the criticisms you hear about you is you started out on the wrong side of the party with Eli Bremer and the evil Satanist rhino side. And then you saw the lightness, you saw you had a conversion like Paul did on the road to it wasn't Aleppo, some Damascus. Talk about that.
Well, I would compare it to what Todd Watkins experienced 2 weeks ago when he ran for chair. Everybody thinks that I'm using this term, the establishment, I'm using that in an almost endearing way right now, right? Because that's the side of the party that has historically raised money, founded organizations. Like, these are the old members of our party. So that side of the party they're really good at recruiting the young Republicans in, recruiting people like me in five, six years ago when I moved back to El Paso County. They want you to do the work, but they don't want to ever reward you. They don't care about new ideas. And as I told people, I said, when Todd goes to run for chair, he's going to find out really quick that you can deposit all you want in the bank of the establishment. And when you go to withdraw that capital, there's not going to be any.
Yeah.
Because they're not seeking positions for the right reasons. You know, you and I, the people that are in this for the right reasons, we're out fighting for our kids. I'm driving to Durango. I'm spending my own money to stand against the school board. I'm going to the Capitol and I'm yelling at the title board when they deny our initiative. I'm doing the things that need to be done. And that some people in our party don't like that. They're intimidated by that. And that's why, I mean, I'm a controversial figure, but that side of the party, by and large, I was too much for them. I was too aggressive. I hold elected officials accountable, and that's a no-no. I mean, it just is. It's if you're elected, if you're, you know, you can't ever say anything negative. Why? If I say it in a respectful way, why can't I call Lisa Frizzell and say, look, your vote today was garbage. Help me explain it.
Yeah.
Or help me understand it. I mean, talk to me.
Right.
And if we're not on the same page, even Joel Altman and I talked about this the other day. Okay, if we're not on the same page, then how can I help you understand what it means to be a conservative? How can I help hold you accountable to your constituents and not do damage to the party? Like, let's get that done. Let's get people to stand for their constituents the way they were elected to do so.
I don't know. It's pretty outrageous. No, that's great. That's great. Listen, Darcy, we have to go now. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for all the work you do.
Thank you, guys. Good to see you.
All right, thank you. Darcy Shaney there, guys, running for Colorado Republican Party chair. That is going to do it for us. We have to wrap up. Party Friday is coming up, so we will see everybody on Party Friday.
So much partying to do.
So much partying to do. That's
right. Take care, everybody.